fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The finals in European club football's two top tournaments will have a distinct English flavor and feature some of Africa's biggest stars. In the UEFA Champions League final, Liverpool will take on Tottenham Hotspur on June 1st in Madrid, Spain. And UEFA's Europa League final also has two English clubs. Arsenal will play Chelsea on May 29th in Baku, Azerbaijan. Now, in terms of African star power, Liverpool has two-time African Footballer of the Year, Mohamed Salah of Egypt, and Senegalese hitman Sadio Mane. Arsenal, meanwhile, got excellent production this season from Gabon striker Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. In fact, Aubameyang, Mane, and Salah shared the English Premier League's Golden Boot Award during the 2018-2019 season, with each bagging 22 goals. For reaction to the four English clubs reaching the European finals, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with a football analyst and editor on the sports desk of the news agency of Nigeria, Emmanuel Okara.
It shows the remarkable stride being made by English football clubs. Over the years, the promises have been there. Once in a while, they do have teams playing in the finals. Once in a while, they have teams winning. Once in a while, or let me say precisely, down to 2008 or so, two English teams played in the finals, Chelsea Football Club and Manchester United. At this time, it's the first time ever that you have four English club side, not English club side alone, reputable English club side, qualifying for the finals of the elite UEFA Champions League and UEFA Europa Cup, which has never been done before.
Is there any contribution by African players to the UEFA Champions League final?
Of course. I mean, if you look at Liverpool, for example, you have four African players plying their trade there. Mohamed Salah, Sadio Mane, Naby Keita, and Joel Matip from Cameroon. And they have played a remarkable role for this team. They made major contribution. Even at a stage when they thought that Salah was not going to play, the team still picked itself up and, I mean, performed the way they did.
What about the UEFA Europa Cup?
Well, if you look at the UEFA Europa Cup, like Arsenal, for example, you have a Nigerian there, Alex Iwobi, and then you have Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, a one-time African Footballer of the Year. Everywhere you go in Europe, you definitely see the contribution and ebullient performances of African players.
What about African players' contributions to the big league in Europe? I'm referring to La Liga, Serie A, Bundesliga, the French league, Ligue 1.
Behind Brazil and Argentina, known to be largest exporters of football, the African continent is also a major contributor to football in the major leagues in Europe. In the French Ligue 1, even though he plays for France, Kylian Mbappe is of African extraction from Cameroon. Then even the leading scorer, or one of the leading scorers in the French Ligue 1, Pepe from Côte d'Ivoire, is also making his mark. You go to Serie A, you hear Kalidou Koulibaly, who plays for Napoli, is the linchpin of their defense. And others too numerous to mention. African players are like the vital ingredient, which if you don't have in your team, if you don't have in your league, it looks as if a very cognizant part is, you know, missing.
Do you also see the young stars from Africa contributing to the major European league? Those who are aspiring to go to Europe, do you think they have chances of making it in the big European clubs?
Of course, they have. I mean, based on this major elite competition, cadet competitions, scouts go there. Scouts even come to African leagues to watch our matches and so on. The future is bright. So it's just for them to up the ante, so to speak, surpass what their forebears have done. If Didier Drogba was the leading scorer for 3-4 seasons, definitely somebody else will come and make, just to make it for all times. So the future, the prospects are very bright for upcoming African players.
That's Emmanuel Okara, a football analyst and editor on the sports desk of the news agency of Nigeria. And Emmanuel spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, And you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. We heard Emmanuel Okara say how the future and prospects are very bright for the upcoming African players. Well, the future has not always been very bright for players who retire from Nigeria's national team, the Super Eagles. In fact, Nigeria Football Federation President Amaju Pinnick says most ex-international Nigerian players go broke. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Pinnick said the federation will try to help such players via a special foundation.
We're setting up, which will be announced any moment from now, the NFF Foundation. The NFF Foundation is principally to not just to look at welfare of players, but to prepare the current players' life after playing. Because what we have observed is after playing, most of them go broke immediately, you know. So the foundation is principally to look at their life after playing, what can be done, the ones that are educated, whether they can go into punditry, you know, as it says on the other side of the, yes, I was watching again, was she given the former keeper of Newcastle, that was a pundit. So Gary Neville, all those. So the same thing we want to do, we train the ones that are educated. The ones that are not truly educated, we still also train them in the act of punditry, you know, and sell them internationally. And of course, the ones that have problems, the foundation will look into their problems and see what they can do. But it's principally there to look at players, their welfare, their future, and what can be done. Because like I maintained, without players, there's no NFF, there's no FIFA, there's no CAF.
Do you also have any plan or arrangement to send some of the ex-internationals abroad for training as coaches?
The foundation can define that. It's not impossible. That's the truth. The foundation can define those ones that there might be certain criteria, because if you want to do that, everybody wants to go. Possibly they cannot afford it. So
your message to Nigerians about the under-17 team, under-20 team, and the Super Eagles?
I said it now. These junior teams, they are developmental. We should pray for them, and if they win, fine. But if they not, we are happy with the caliber of players we've been able to assemble, and that's the truth. So, but for the Super Eagles, Nigerians should pray and expect them to win the trophy. We want to win it, and we believe we have the caliber of players that can do it. And it's just for us to be very prayerful, and on our part, we'll give them the best preparation, motivate them to the highest levels, and make sure, and for our girls, which you didn't mention, the Super Falcons, yes, we'll also make sure, if you look at the preparation we've given to the girls, I don't think in the past they've never had this kind of preparation. They played over 9 friendly games. They are going for WAFU. Then when they come back from WAFU, they go to France. So total, they'll be playing almost 11, 12, 13 matches leading to this tournament. So major matches. So I promise we're going to do that, and we've done it. And we're also going to have a round table with them to discuss some of the possibilities on how we can have an harmonious relationship while we're in France.
That's Amaju Pinnick, the president of the Nigeria Football Federation and first vice president of the Confederation of African Football, CAF, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I know Amaju Pinnick is hoping the Super Falcons of Nigeria play well at the upcoming Women's World Cup in France. The month-long tournament kicks off on June 7th. And Pinnick will be closely following, I'm sure, the performance of the Super Eagles of Nigeria at the Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Egypt. That competition kicks off on June 21st. The Super Eagles are grouped with Guinea, Madagascar, and Burundi in the first round. Burundi and Madagascar are two of three teams making their Nations Cup debuts in Egypt. The third is Mauritania. Meanwhile, Burundi, Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania will be representing not just their respective countries at Egypt 2019, but also the Council for East and Central Africa Football Associations, SACAFA. Soccer experts say the Nations Cup qualification of the four SACAFA teams will help grow the sport in the region and in Africa. They warn, however, that local football federations must invest in more infrastructure if they are to maintain this soccer momentum. Magumi Davis Rakawinge tells us more from Kampala, Uganda.
Among these countries will be Burundi, who are debutants for the AFCON finals. Sports reporter and commentator Darren Chayune attributes the qualification to CAF's decision to increase the number of teams at the finals from 16-24. Chayune says increased number will help generate more revenues that will be channeled to develop soccer in Africa. He also says young soccer players will be inspired watching their countrymen play at the finals.
If Burundi is at the Africa Cup of Nations, it increases the audiences that get interest into the Africa Cup of Nations itself. Not only that, other countries that will be debuting, like Mauritania, Madagascar as well, all of them, there is more attention to the tournament, which works more for the growth of football as CAF, and not a giant who would desire to face, to rub shoulders with only the giants and not these other lighter weight countries that have come from East Africa.
CAF stands for the Confederation of African Football, which brings all football associations in Africa. Chayune says it is a chance for players to show their talents for hundreds of soccer scouts from major soccer leagues, including Europe, that will be watching the AFCON finals. Leon Senyange, a sports analyst in Uganda, agrees.
Many young Ugandan players had watched the team frustratingly fail to qualify for the AFCON. Today, after one qualification, everybody works so hard to be part of the national team and make it to the big stage of Africa's football. For Burundi, I believe a player like Arakaza, he had played Sekafa, he had played the Burundian League, he had played everything there was for him to play in Burundi. And there are many other players that now have the admiration of a goalkeeper like Arakaza from Burundi. Now, they'd want to follow in his footsteps, and the bigger target now for them is the Africa Cup of Nations qualification. And once they're able to do that 3-4 times, then the World Cup becomes the next big target.
Football coach Asaf Mwebaze says it is indeed every footballer's dream to participate at the competitions like CAF. Mwebaze says local football associations must now invest in infrastructure so young players can train. He also says now that these countries have qualified, their federations must train coaches, referees, and other football administrators.
Qualification alone is not enough, although qualification could be something that sparks this kind of growth, because you see the presidents of these countries will be are happy. So that the president of Tanzania giving plots of land and money to the players, the Ugandan president has done the same thing. I don't know what the Kenyan guys. So when this is done, then it can actually spur the growth of football in terms of facilities, even governments even putting money in the budgets of their countries to facilitate this game.
Mwebaze says he expects the Tanzanian team to perform better than most of our SEKAFA colleagues at the finals. Tanzania Taifa Stars beat Uganda by 3-0 in their final Group L match to finish second behind Uganda Cranes. But Mwebaze and other analysts say qualification for the finals, not how they will perform at the finals, is a big step in the right direction for their soccer development. For the Sony side of sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Magumi. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The Voice of America. Boxing news now on the VOA. And my colleague Gwen Uten joins us with an update on former world heavyweight champion Tyson Fury. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. At a news conference on Monday, the self-proclaimed Gypsy King let everyone know he's on a mission to become the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
There's no doubt in anybody's mind that Vladimir Klitschko was the undisputed king of the heavyweight division, correct? Is everyone in agreement? And when I kicked his ass on that night, I became the best fighter in the heavyweight division. Number uno, number one. Barring nobody, there was no number two, three, or four. Vladimir was known as the undisputed heavyweight king because he couldn't fight his own brother. So when I beat him, I became that. And you know what? It didn't even change me one bit. Not one bit. When that does happen next year, because he will, because he can't beat me, I'll still be the same person as I am today. Because real people don't change. We just stay the same.
Fury will return to the ring next month and is set to face German heavyweight Tom Schwartz. And Fury says his opponent is coming for war.
He's a tall guy, 6 foot five and a half, 6 foot six, around about 18 stone. He's got good footwork for a big man. He throws good combinations, punches in bunches. He's hungry and he's ambitious, and I'm sure he's going to come for a war. I hear he's training in the mountains in Germany. He's not ill preparing for this fight. He's not taking it for granted. He's not turning up for a paycheck. He's turning up to take the lineal championship of the world. But it's a good job that I'm in that mind frame of mind as well. I'm training as hard as I can. I'm doing everything correct. I'm eating right, sleeping right, drinking right. Everything's going correct. The training camp's been fantastic so far. I'm injury free, which is the best thing that anyone could ever hope for in boxing.
And Fury is wise to take his upcoming fight seriously. Schwartz is currently the undefeated WBO Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion and has won 18 of his 24 bouts by a knockout. Fury will take on Schwartz June 15th in the U.S. city of Las Vegas, where Fury will make his debut and fulfill a childhood dream.
It's been a long time coming. I've never, ever been to Las Vegas, ever. I've refrained myself from going there over the years, purely for the fact that I made a promise to myself when I was young that I wouldn't go to Vegas unless I fought there. And 30 years later, I'm finally getting the opportunity to fight there on the biggest platform in the world. It's been an amazing comeback story. It's been an amazing journey in my second career. I came back less than a year ago. I've had three fights back now. This has been my fourth defence of the lineal championship of the world, and something I'm really, really enjoying as an athlete and as a person and as a boxer. I really love my job at the minute, more than I've ever done ever before.
Fury chose to fight Schwartz after turning down a chance for an immediate rematch against WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder. The two went the distance last December in a thrilling match that ended in a draw. And on Monday, Fury said he's ready for a Wilder rematch anytime and threw a few jabs at his fellow countryman, world heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua.
Do you know, they're both great fights. They'll both be good fights for the fans. But, you know, either or really doesn't matter to me. I already beat Deontay Wilder in his own country. Didn't get the decision, but we're not going to cry about that. So, you know, whoever doesn't really matter. However, whenever, I said I'll fight them 7 days a week, twice on a Sunday. It's really unimportant to me because they're only men with boxing gloves on. And I'll beat both of them time and time again. If we fought 10 times, I'd win 10 times out of 10. So all we need to do is stop messing around and get the fights on.
Well, the fights are on for all three men. Deontay Wilder hopes to defend his heavyweight title against fellow American Dominic Brazil in Brooklyn, New York on May 18th. And Anthony Joshua is set to face Mexican-American Andy Ruiz in New York's Madison Square Garden on June 1st. And while no deal has yet been reached for a match between Joshua and Tyson Fury, the 6'6" heavyweight champion has suggested Fury chose a towering opponent for his upcoming match as a warm-up for a fight against him. Tune in to the Sunny Side of Sports for the results of all three bouts in the coming days. And that's all from me. Sunny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. Always great to hear from the Gypsy King. The Gypsy King, so good for heavyweight boxing. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The National Basketball Association's Western Conference Finals tip off later Tuesday night in the western U.S. city of Oakland, California. That's where the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors will host the Portland Trail Blazers in Game 1 of their best-of-seven series. Now, the Warriors will be without their superstar big man, Kevin Durant, who is expected to miss at least the first two games of the series because of a calf injury. Golden State's head coach, Steve Kerr, says Durant's status will be updated on Thursday once he's checked out. Meanwhile, Portland has listed guard Rodney Hood as questionable for Game 1. The Trailblazers say Hood, a key reserve, has a bone bruise. Rodney had to be helped off the court during the third quarter of Portland's 100-96 Game 7 win on Sunday against the host Denver Nuggets. This marks the first time Portland has reached the Western Conference Finals since 2000, when the Blazers were beaten by Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant, and the Los Angeles Lakers, who would go on to win the trophy. The Blazers won their only trophy in 1977 when Hall of Famer Big Bill Walton was the team center. Meanwhile, the Warriors have been one of the league's dominant teams in recent years. Golden State is aiming for its fourth NBA title in 5 years. The big Australian Andrew Bogut is expected to start in place of Kevin Durant in Game 1 in Oakland later Tuesday night. The Eastern Conference Finals will start on Wednesday night in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That's where the Milwaukee Bucks will host the Toronto Raptors in Game 1 of another best-of-seven series. The Bucks are led by Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is my pick to win the 2019 NBA Most Valuable Player Award. Like the Portland Trailblazers, the Milwaukee Bucks have captured the NBA title only once in 1971, when the most valuable player of the NBA Finals was a player named Lou Alcindor, now known as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. The Raptors, meanwhile, have never won the NBA championship. Toronto is led by all-star forward Kawhi Leonard, whose last-second game-winning shot on Sunday lifted the Raptors to a thrilling 92-90 victory over the visiting Philadelphia 76ers. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
Music time in Africa. Tune in to your local radio station Fridays at 900 and Saturdays and Sundays at 900, 15, 20, and 2200 Universal Time. That's what's up.
Why? But tell me where you going.
What?
Why do we get them a shop me land?
Them a shop you land?
Them a shop me land.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Finally, in golf, Justin Thomas, an American star, has withdrawn from the PGA Championship, saying he's not willing to risk more pain in his right wrist before that wrist is fully healed. Justin Thomas won the PGA Championship 2 years ago. He'll miss a major tournament for the first time since his rookie season in 2015. Justin Thomas is currently ranked fifth in the world. And that wraps up the May 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Justin Thwaites. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, as Malawi gears up for elections on May 21st, candidates and voters say flooding from Cyclone Idai is negatively impacting the vote. Uncertainty at the polls on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
A new study in the journal Science suggests there may be very few small Kuiper Belt objects. The Kuiper Belt is an almost 3 billion kilometer wide ring of rocks left over from the creation of the solar system. A Southwest Research Institute-led team of scientists studied photos and data captured during the 2015 flyby of Pluto and its largest moon, Charon, by NASA's New Horizons spacecraft. Their analysis revealed that a lack of craters measuring between 91 meters to 1.6 kilometers on Charon must also indicate that any impacting objects smaller than that may also be rare. The study's lead author, Kelsey Singer of the SWRI, said that a lack of small Kuiper Belt objects indicates the formation and/or evolution of the Kuiper Belt were somewhat different than the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Oh.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, Managing Editor of VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.